Welcome to Blockchain Enterprises Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Kryptos. The aim of this podcast is to show you how anyone can start a business, find their dream job, or develop a revenue stream in the emerging blockchain industry. Most, if not all of our guests, started with an idea, a few hundred dollars, and a Twitter account. Before we meet today's guest, here's a word from our sponsor.
Bitcash combines the power of blockchain technology and traditional banking features with the goal of being the most usable cryptocurrency in the world. Bitcash hopes to tackle mass adoption by creating easy-to-use, familiar tools for any and everyone. Major features from crypto such as decentralization, low rates, and speeds are united with banking features like transaction logs, account names, electronic statements, and accounting software to help make Bitcash a great alternative to Bitcoin and other currencies. Bitcash focuses on creating features that fall into four main areas, which are usability, stability, simplicity, and mass adoption. To learn more about Bitcash, visit www.choosebitcash.com.
On this episode, we chat with Brujas. Brujas has built a reputation as one of the top spec miners in the crypto space by using a very unique way to earn crypto with basic computer equipment. He started off as a novice, but immersed himself in books, videos, and forums, and quickly learned how to navigate the mining landscape. He also applied some of his skill sets to provide marketing strategies to different blockchain projects. Let's talk to Brujas. Brujas, thanks for joining us, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, every guest we get on here, if you listen to the podcast, first couple of episodes, you see we always want to ask, how did you get into blockchain? How did you get into crypto? What was your first experience and what kept you here?
Sure. So I came in like 2017, right, when everything was crazy, only I didn't really know enough to even realize it. I work in visual effects and animation. And I had just started a new business working for myself, and I had bought a new production computer. It's powerful. I got a Threadripper with a nice graphic card and to do my work. And what I found was, 9 to 5, I'm doing animations, and then from 5 o'clock on, my computer's just sitting there. And I started to think, there's got to be some way I can monetize that. And I had heard about Bitcoin mining, looked into that. Obviously, I can't do that. But then I started reading about altcoins, and someone turned me towards NiceHash, and you could download NiceHash as miner and just kind of run it, and it was automated, and it would coin switch and mine whatever was most profitable and then dump the Bitcoin into your account, and you could cash out like every 20 bucks or something. So I did that for like 2 weeks. I never even made it to the point that I could cash out. I'm like, this is lame. there's no way all these people are in crypto if they're all making like 20 bucks every 2 weeks. And then I discovered that there were these communities online. I found Bitcoin Talk, the forum, and right. People were talking about, you got to go see this and that. And I'm like, what the hell's an and? And so I open up that forum, and it's just like I vomit. I'm looking at all this stuff. Like, I've heard about, at this point, I've heard about Ripple, I've heard about Litecoin and Bitcoin, and now I'm just seeing like hundreds of these crazy projects. And they have Discord links, so I then found my way to Discord, and I see, well, there's all these channels talking about these different coins, and people are mining them. So now I think I'm a genius, because everyone's mining NiceHash for 20 bucks every 2 weeks. And now I'm on the inside track. I'm in the Discord channel, and I get like a leg up. So I kind of just follow the crowd. Like, everybody hangs out. And then when there's a new and on Bitcoin Talk, everybody like races to it, and they all try to mine it. And then there's the pump and dump, and they go to the next one. So right. I start doing that, and I make 20 bucks in my first week. So I'm like on top of the world. I was like, this is great. But then my next slot is like, how do I do better? Like, what can I do better? And I quickly realized that the first people to mine are the ones that do the best because the difficulty is low and whatnot. So then I started watching Bitcoin Talk like a hawk. And I I wrote a couple little scrapers that, like, I could have a personal web page and it would go and scrape information from Bitcoin Talk. So the idea was that I wanted to see new project posted the moment they were posted. So I did that, and I started to get into projects a little bit earlier, and I was able to mine a little bit more. You know, now I'm making $30 every 2 weeks or something. And so it was an improvement, though, and this is cool. And I started to meet people in the kind of crypto space and created my circle. And it was mostly with people that were better than me, more involved than me. I kind of always felt like the way to get better at something is to find the people that are better than you are.
Absolutely.
So they've been around longer. They have more equipment. Like, some of these guys have like some serious GPU power, you know, hundreds of GPUs or something. And I'm talking to them, and they're sharing their experience. And I start following them around projects, and it was kind of the same thing. Like, I'd get in early and I'd get my piece, but then they were getting like a huge piece. And rightfully so, because this money and equipment and stuff. But so then I'm thinking more like, if I can't get better at this, I don't want to keep doing it, because I don't have the money to buy hundreds of GPUs, and there's got to be a better way. So then I started trying to figure out how can I get here even earlier. So what I started to look for were Bitcoin Talk projects that had not begun mining yet. So they had a Discord, and they did like a pre-an, you know, and they'd get the Discord channel full, and they'd be like, we're going to start mining on such and such a date. And everybody would get all excited. And then when the date came, it was the same mad dash. So what I would do is go into these projects, and then I'd go on to GitHub, and say the project was called like CryptoCoin. I would search, I would go www.github.com/CryptoCoin. You know, and like one out of five times, that would be it. And the wallet would be there. The daemon would be there. And but they wouldn't be compiled yet. And I didn't know how to compile stuff. So I started doing some research online, Googling. And I saw that I could install Windows Subsystem, which is like a, I don't know if it's emulator or what, but it lets you run Linux inside of Windows.
Right.
The abbreviations is WSL. And if you haven't played with it, it's well worth it if you're going to get into any of this stuff at all. So I got that installed. I did a bunch of tutorials online, read a bunch of articles, and I learned how to compile a crypto wallet. And that was probably the biggest help, because then I'd go into these Discords that weren't mining yet. I would guess the GitHub address. Sometimes it would be just the name of the project. Sometimes it would be like the project name dash project. For some reason, a lot of these guys follow the same naming conventions. And the ones that were trying to be really tricky would try to hide it. So I'd go look at the lead dev name and do github.com/the dev's name. And like oftentimes that was it too. So I'd find these wallets and I'd compile them. And when they say mining hasn't started, it doesn't mean the blockchain isn't started. It just means that nobody can have the wallet. And what it usually meant was that the dev was ninja mining it. If I compiled the wallet early, I could start mining it, and I could mine it just with a CPU. Like I got a Threadripper, but barely ever do I use more than one or two CPUs when I mine these projects, just because of how early I'm there. The difficulty is so low that if you mine with more than that, you end up driving the difficulty up on yourself, and then you're your own worst enemy. So that ended up being cool, and it was kind of fun too, you know, because everyone's waiting to mine it and I'm mining it. You know, and I felt like a badass. And the devs usually you could see them on GitHub making like updates and trying to like change ports and block stuff, because they know someone's mining it, but they don't know, you know, who or how to stop it. And but then so that some of the learning came from that too, because I found that it's very easy for a shitcoin dev to just restart their chain if something goes wrong before they're officially launched.
Yeah.
And so then it became kind of a balancing act. So if I found a coin that no one was mining yet and I went and mined the piss out of it, I'd wake up the next morning and see that the dev had reset the chain to shake me out. And it's like, well, crap. And then not only that, but they'd reset the chain, then they'd hide their GitHub, so I didn't have another shot at it. So oh, wow. I ended up having to get a little think about how to do it. So what I started to do is if I found a coin early that had a Discord, I'd get in there, I'd find the GitHub, I'd compile the wallet, and I'd just watch it. And I'd wait for the devs to make some kind of announcement that they couldn't really backtrack on. Like, we're gonna launch, you know, tomorrow at 8 a.m. So then tomorrow at 6 a.m., I'd start mining it because there wouldn't be time for them to change the code, reset the chain, and recompile the wallets for an 8 a.m. release.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was going to ask. I mean, there has to be some – you kind of mentioned a period where obviously somebody catches you and then they just reset the chain. But what about when you get through – and you go ahead and hit that ninja mine and maybe the coin ends up being a dud, the dev is exit scamming or quits the project. Like, how often does that happen to where this, you know, this ninja mine that you do, or not ninja mine, but this pre-mine that, you're just solo doing, how often does it occur where basically it just ends up nowhere?
Yeah, a lot. Like, you gotta, like, I fail more than I win. But when you win, that's what keeps, you know, it ties me over to the next one. There's like a couple things that could possibly happen. Like, you find a coin, you mine it, and the chain gets reset. That's one thing. The other thing is you find a coin, you mine it, the chain goes on, and the coin just never even makes it to the point where it has a Discord or it really takes off and it just kind of never becomes anything. Another thing could possibly happen where you mine it, it has a Discord, it builds a community, and it's just kind of like the old exit scams of like 2017, 18, where the coin lasts a week and then it's gone. But then also there's some out there where you get it and it turns into a legit project and you stick with it.
Right.
And I've had them all happen, but I can say, like, nowadays, I probably find 10 or so new projects a day. And maybe I have maybe one or two every 2 or 3 weeks that end up resulting in me actually making anything off of them.
Right. But when you hit relatively big, I imagine, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because it's all about the volume, right? So right. I go into a coin that when I first started going from project to project on Bitcoin Talk, I would maybe mine, you know, 100 coins, but now in those same projects, I'm mining 100,000 coins.
Right.
So then you're set up pretty good. I always keep track of my costs too, even though it's relatively negligible, because if I know that I mined 300,000 coins and my cost was a quarter of a set per coin, I can sit in that Discord. And when OTC starts up, and people are saying, I'll sell this for 400 sats a coin. You know, like, nobody in that OTC can beat me. Nobody. And so then I'll usually offer my coin and say, hey, I got a huge fat stack of this stuff. I'll sell it off in one lot and I'll give you a price nobody can beat. And if I'm able to do that, yeah, I make out well enough that it makes up for all the wasted time chasing losers.
Yeah. And so essentially, like, for our listeners who might not even mind ever before, right, but might have heard of
right.
it, what you were kind of talking about initially when you were on NiceHash, that's just mining. That's your typical mining. Most of the time they're mining some type of algorithm, Ethereum, you know, whatever. And then what you mentioned when you first found that Discord where you're kind of catching those ants as they came out as soon as the coin was launching, it's you and a group of guys. That's more called spec mining. And then really what you're doing now is still technically spec mining, but you're just catching this thing so far in advance. And, you know, I guess the beauty of everything that you said, because to everybody that's listening, I've known Brewhaus for a long time. I've never spoke with him, but I got him on notifications. I'm a miner. And so I'm always kind of checking out and seeing what he's doing because it's always really interesting. But, you know, kind of what you have done that separated yourself has been how you've educated yourself and really just jumped into these Discords and then essentially kind of saw what made a good coin, what didn't. I mean, because it sounds like within a very, very short period of time, you went from you know, not even knowing what to expect from NiceHash to pretty much over, sounds like within a year. I mean, all of a sudden you're compiling wallets.
It was immersing myself in it for sure. But it was that always trying to figure out, like, how can I do it better? I mean, if I follow all the other miners and do what the other miners are doing, I'm going to get the same thing the other miners get. And I'm not going to fall into, like, I'm not going to have a windfall where I can buy a mining farm. So I'm trying to take what I have and do the best I can with it. And I've had people write to me before and ask, you know, how big's your mining rig and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, I don't have a mining rig. Like you could do what I'm doing with your computer you're sitting at right now. It's just a matter of, like you said, educating yourself and thinking critically about it and really starting, like, when I looking at projects, you start real broad and then drive down, because the number of projects I'm finding, I can't go and validate every single one and learn all about every single one. So I've developed a system of things I look for. So at the very top level, I can weed out the bad ones and try not to focus on those to spend more time on the good ones. Sometimes I'll miss one and it sucks. And that's just what happens. I mean, there was one a few months ago I found, and I found it before it was ready, before it was even done. You couldn't compile the wallet yet. And I just kept an eye on it, kept updating, checking it. And then when it was ready, I compiled it and I started mining it. And I read about it and I joined the Discord and talked to the dev. And I was like, man, this coin sucks. I was like, this coin sucks so bad that it's not even worth mining it for free like I am right now. So I was like, I'm out. So I bailed. I told all my friends, that's garbage, I'm out. And like, yeah, man, like a week later, it was everywhere and people were trading it for like 2,000 sats. And I can't even, I can't even really talk about it still. It hurts.
It's the one that got away, huh?
That's right. But it just goes to show you can't ever really know. But but I mean, like, I have some basic criteria for when I first find a project, even as simple as like, does the project have a logo or not? Because what I find is there's the same usual suspects that are making these things wholesale. So there's different classifications of projects. You have the, like, your regular scam coin. These guys turn them out literally 20 or 30 of them a week, and it's the same people, and they won't bother putting a logo up or any real material. So if you find a project early and it's got a logo and it's got a website, like, that's enough to, like, keep your attention, and you should hang on to that.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, man, because I've seen that you affiliated yourself, to a certain extent, kind of working with PEXA,
yeah,
and as well as placeholders.
Sure.
And like you said, you were one 3 years ago, before that crypto boom. I mean, you're not even in this space, so you know now all of a sudden you're in there helping projects move forward, legitimate projects that have, actual reason to exist and things like that. So, you know, tell me about how you've kind of managed to also affiliate yourself with some projects and find work, working with them officially.
Yeah, I'd love to. So, I mean, I'm all about making the most of what I have, and seeing how far I can stretch it. So aside from the technical things and, I'm a big proponent of networking, like not technical networking, but people networking, right? So right, you surround yourself with good people and you never know who knows who and so on and so forth. So actually, placeholders and PEXA are both projects that I found. So I found them early before anyone else was there and then brought people in. Well, that's not true of placeholders. I found placeholders, and placeholders was like 7 or 8 months old. But there were like 20 people in his Discord, and it was a Bitcoin based coin, so it had the SHA mining algorithm. But there was a problem in the code base where you could only CPU mine it. So everyone that was there had been CPU mining it, and so I found it, and I talked to the dev, and that's always a good thing to do. I'll talk to the dev as soon as I'm able to. And I could tell right off that he was a really smart guy and he had a really cool idea. And I asked him, why can't you GPU mine this? And he's like, oh, you know, the code doesn't allow for it. And this is what it is. So I don't think I slept for like 3 days, and I set up my own mining pool, and I was compiling the wallet, and I was trying to figure out why can't you GPU mine this, and I eventually figured it out, and I made a pool for myself that worked. I GPU mined it for a couple of days, and I slaughtered it. And this was like a unicorn, right? Because this coin wasn't going to go away. It's been here 8 months already. Right. So I woke up the next morning and was like, holy shit. And I wrote the dev and I was like, hey, man, so I figured out your GPU mining problem. And here it is. And I made my pool public and he invited his community to start mining on it. And that's where my relationship with them started. Since then, I've actually... They've flown me out to see them, and I've done work with them. I've seen them a couple times. My background outside of visual effects and animation is in marketing, and they had a need. And so I've done work with the dev on placeholders for placeholders, but I've also done work with the dev in real life in our other businesses together.
How about that?
So that was interesting. Wow. And then the PEXA dev... is another guy. I found his project on GitHub, and I found it. It was like a month or two I found it before I actually was able to talk to him. So I was cruising projects, and after you see so many, you get used to the code. And if something's different, it stands out. And I'm watching him work on this project, and he's doing stuff that I'm just like, what is this guy doing? And it didn't make sense to me. And I kept watching it. I'd check on it every couple days, and I saw he was doing something with mining pools, but I couldn't tell what. So eventually a Discord popped up and I joined it and I wrote to him and he told me what he was planning to do, making a pool mining platform. And I was like, oh man, like, yeah, this is a good project with a good use case. And this guy's a capable person. So then I reached out to my crypto network of mining friends, other spec miners and people I've met. And I brought in, I said, you guys got to come check out this coin. This is going to be something real. So I get them all in and they come in with their resources. You know, some of them are big miners. Some of them are big Twitter people that have followings. And when I found the project, it was actually called Helix Alpha. And we convinced the dev to rebrand it to PEXA. And so we were able to help with that process and, you know, still are helping him where we can, but I kind of got myself talked in circles. But did I answer your question? It was mostly came down to like networking. Like you create opportunities for yourself because if you wait for them, you're either not going to get them or everyone else is going to get it too.
No, man, I tell you what was been so mind blowing about this interview with you is how much you take the initiative on everything that it seems like that you've done in this space, whether it's, you know, solving a freaking GPU mining problem for a project that's been out for 8 months. You got them GPU mining, you know, convincing Ryan at PEXA to, you know, rebrand and come out with kind of a different name and, you know, help him move his project. I am involved in that quite a bit. So I've seen your work that you've done there. The initiative that you've taken to learn how to mine, to get ahead of the curve, to kind of beat people to these different projects, man, it's really mind blowing. So I kind of want to shut things down because we're getting on the tail end of this things. But you know, this podcast is meant for people that, you know, are just looking a way to find revenue in this crypto space that maybe don't have the luxury of throwing, you know, actual fiat into crypto. Right. So they got to find ways to earn and learn and mine and all these kind of things that it seems like you've done a really good job at doing. What advice would you give to anybody, whether it's in the mining sector or just anywhere else in this crypto space? You know, what advice would you give to them about ways to generate revenue?
Yeah, so the one thing I'm the most proud of is I've never spent one single U.S. dollar in crypto. When I first started, I was mining on NiceHash, like I said. But then when I went into these projects and my background's in marketing, I would write to the devs and I would offer to do masternode guides or logos or branding and in return for their coin. So I've just kind of traded up from all of that. So that's what I would suggest probably. I mean, everybody has skills, whether they're something that clearly translates to crypto or not, I would look think of ways that you can leverage your skills. The more that you can find from inside, it lowers your risk. You know, when all you're putting in is sweat equity, it's a lot less risky than putting in, you know, part of your paycheck. And
no question.
And all of everything I've done, there's nothing special about me. I didn't have this knowledge. It's all out there. You know, I found everything pretty easily and pretty readily, just through Googling and chatting to people and kind of being observant and thinking critically. I mean, all the information's out there. Somebody could be doing exactly what I'm doing if they put the, you know, the time in to think it through.
Absolutely, man. That's some great advice, man. I appreciate you taking the time to hop on. Once again, this is Brujas. If you want to follow him on Twitter, we'll make sure to have his name in the show notes. But I just say it. Here's Brujas _ crypto. Hey, man, let's hope we can survive coronavirus 2020, man. But definitely look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it. You take care.
All right, buddy. All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Blockchain Enterprises. If you're interested in learning more about how to generate revenue streams in the crypto space, or if you're interested in becoming a sponsor of our podcast, then visit our website at www.blockchainenterprisespodcast.com.